I really do wonder where this conversation is going to go. In the last 5 years or so, we've witnessed a series of admissions from various departments of the US government, most notably actually the US Navy, in relation to UFO sightings and incursions over sensitive military sites and training ranges. US Navy pilots have come out on the record to acknowledge their experiences. Video footage has come out as well of these encounters, and it's been officially acknowledged by the Department of Defense. And we're now in a moment where a push for transparency on what the US government really knows about UFOs has become a bipartisan talking point within Congress. The desire to learn more about this phenomenon has galvanized public, scientific, political interest, and it's continuing to grow. And you touched on it briefly, but there is a particular facet of this interest in the UFO subject that started to rise in its prominence to the point at which it's actually been discussed in an official congressional hearing in DC. So I would like to ask you just a few questions about a series of documents, and I'm going to explain for those of you listening who don't actually know about them, a series of documents that found their way into the public domain after they were discovered in the files of the now deceased Apollo 14 astronaut, Dr. Edgar Mitchell.
I was born and raised, I was raised in the vicinity of Roswell, and my family knew many of the people involved in the so-called Roswell incident. And even though it's been was hushed up by our government, those people have continued to their dying day to swear that it was real. And I, because of my astronaut status, many of the people involved in the early days, I called them old timers. They were military people, intelligence people that were involved in the early investigation of UFO experiences. And they, I was privileged to be briefed by them, and they told me because they were under security oath, but they wanted to get it off their chest before they passed on, that these were real things. And in addition to that, I was briefed at our Pentagon because I'd asked some questions there a few years ago, and was briefed a high-level officer on what I knew, and he said, well, I don't know about that, but I will find out. And he called me a few weeks later and said, you're right on, those things are real. I should be in charge of that, but I'm not.
And the documents, or more accurately, the transcript, because these are not actually government documents of any form, it's a private set of papers. And these papers are a transcript of a conversation that allegedly took place between a government astrophysicist, a man named Dr. Eric Davis, and a former director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, a man named Admiral Thomas R. Wilson. And the transcript of notes that were allegedly taken during this meeting describe a conversation between Admiral Wilson and Eric Davis that involves the Admiral's alleged attempts to gain access to actionable intelligence within the Pentagon in relation to programs that may be hiding information on UFOs. And during this alleged conversation that it's described within these now public notes, Admiral Wilson tells Eric Davis about a series of programs that he discovered hidden deep within the Black Project's records of the Pentagon that were actively involved in attempts to reverse engineer a recovered craft or a vehicle of some description that they believed could operate in air, sea, space, and perhaps even other dimensions, with the conclusion of the program directors being that this was not man-made, not made by human hands. Now, this transcript has been floating around online for a number of years, with a pretty wide divide being created within the research community in regards to their overall legitimacy. And although behind closed doors, one of the individuals involved has confirmed their legitimacy, and those closest to the story have vouched for their accuracy, there has been a recent shift towards public acknowledgement. This was made clear when a man named Dr. Gary Nolan, one of the world's leading geneticists who works closely with Eric Davis, openly acknowledged his belief that the transcript of this meeting is indeed legitimate. And he said this to millions of people during an interview on Fox News. And he even acknowledged how he had briefed a sitting congressman, a man named Mike Gallagher, on this transcript. And Mike Gallagher then brought these documents to an official congressional hearing on UFOs. These documents are actually now available to download off of the U.S. Congress's own website.
And then finally, are you aware of a document that appeared around 2019, sometimes called the Admiral Wilson memo or EW Notes memo?
I am not.
You're not.
Are you
trying? I'm not personally aware of that.
Okay.
This is a document in which, again, I'm not commenting on the veracity. I was hoping you would help me with that, in which a former head of DIA claims to have had a conversation with a Dr. Eric Wilson and claims to have sort of been made aware of certain contractors or DoD programs that he tried to get fuller access to and was denied access to. So you're not aware of that?
I'm not aware, Congressman.
In my 10 seconds remaining, then, I guess I just would ask, Mr. Chairman, unanimous consent to enter that memo into the record.
Without objection.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate it.
I would not expect you to be able to confirm the legitimacy of the transcript itself or whether the meeting actually took place, because the alleged meeting has nothing to do with you in a direct sense. However, your name is mentioned in these documents, and so for the sake of clarification, I think it's important that we just get your side of this on the record. So I would just like to be able to ask you, first of all, whether or not you personally know Dr. Eric W. Davis.
Yeah. I didn't work with him day in and day out, but I did work with him. I know him fairly well.
May I ask how you first got to know him?
In mutual projects, mutual acquaintances, meetings, things of that sort.
And do you personally know Admiral Thomas R. Wilson?
Yes, I do. But I know him, and of course I know of him. I read somewhere that his response was, "Oak who?" And I thought that was kind of funny. as I mentioned to you, I consider myself eminently forgettable. I'm sure that my memory of him is stronger than his memory of me, because he became a flag officer. I went off and did weird things on top of a mesa in New Mexico. So, so I would expect that he would not remember me as well as I remember him.
Did Admiral Wilson get in contact with you in 2001 or 2002, inquiring into the background and overall trustworthiness of Dr. Eric Davis?
Earlier than that.
Was it earlier than that? My apologies.
Yeah. No, it's we moved to Florida in 2000, and Linda is listening in the background, so she can yell at me and tell me if I'm wrong.
Hey, Linda.
2001. I had had a heart attack and had actually died on the ICU table, and had my own out of body experience, by the way.
Yes, I want to talk to you about that a little bit later on. Absolutely.
I was eventually forced to retire medically because I could not get back in the saddle, even remote work. And I was at home. I was several complications out of that experience, out of that problem, kept recurring over the months. This was in like May of 99, honey?
Yes.
Yeah. May of 99. And throughout the summer, I was having these other problems being cropped up for that. And so I was at home. Actually, I was actually writing, trying to write a novel about the destruction of the Twin Towers. This was in 1999. I had to trash that when it actually happened.
Wow.
I got this phone call, and it was from Admiral Wilson, and he asked me. Now, this was not a short conversation. I was recuperating. I was able to carry on this conversation on the phone, but I wasn't able to do much else at that point. And we had a discussion, and one of the things he wanted to know was, could he trust Eric Davis? And I think he may have even mentioned Hal Putoff. And one or two other people. And I mentioned that, yes, I believe that Eric Davis was an honorable and conscientious scientist, and that he would honor any restrictions the Admiral might put on him. And I thought it would be safe for him to contact him.
Did he say at all why he was seeking that background information during your conversation?
No, he really didn't.
No, but you did.
Not to my memory. Not right, to my memory. Right. I do not recall that he's, and I think I would have recalled that.
If he'd said,
I want to check on the little green men, I would have said, whoa, okay.
Yeah, certainly would have recalled that.
Greg Davis does other things than that, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a brilliant scientist and a brilliant mind.
Yeah.
So he did call you up. He did ask about Eric Davis, and you did subsequently vouch for Dr. Eric Davis in response to his.
That's a good way to put it. I'm asked for him.
All right. And just one last question on these notes. And to be fair, you have actually already glossed over this, but I just wanted to kind of get it in a confirmatory statement. So in these notes that were recovered from Dr. Edgar Mitchell's estate, that are a transcription of an alleged meeting that took place between Admiral Wilson and Dr. Eric Davis, it's mentioned within the transcript of their conversation that you were difficult to get in touch with at the time because you were in poor health due to heart conditions and were not easy to get hold of. So this is actually, this is true in of itself. You were struggling with that.
Yes, I was difficult to get in touch with, and I might add to that, I'm still difficult to get in touch with. If you call me and you don't identify yourself on the identifying stuff on the phone, mm-hmm. we don't bother.
Yeah.
If you leave a message, too bad.